Be okay? Good. Well, thank you all for coming out this morning to our elder roast, our elder Q&A. This is a great time to get to know the men serving you, serving the church, the men that God has risen up in Emmanuel to lead us. Allow me to open this up in a word of prayer. We'll begin our discussion. Father, thank you for the Lord's Day. And thank you for the Lord's Supper as we partake unified this morning. Thank you for these men, for raising up godly men in your church. I do pray for us as a church this morning that you would bless us, that you would unite us, that you would encourage us. I pray you would bless our Sunday school hour, that this would be a time of enrichment, that we'd be encouraged as we hear from your leaders, that the church, the body of Christ, might be built up. Thank you so much for the good gifts you give. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I would say any time we get to know our elders is a good time, but this is also a particularly important time because we're beginning something perhaps a little new at Emmanuel. And this is something called shepherding groups. Shepherding groups are a way for us to place each individual, each member of the church, under very intentional and specific pastoral care. It takes the roster and it divides it up into groups, each overseen by a shepherd or an elder. What are you supposed to do? Well, your job is to simply help your elder serve well. The elder's task is to stay in touch with you, to be available to you, to even call you and check in on you, to serve you. And this helps me. I do partner with the elder. We work together as a team. This helps us collectively to minister well to Emmanuel Bible Church. This is important because it allows us, it gives us a how. In the Bible tells us what we are to do. This is an application of that. This is how we do it. Elders are to shepherd. Well, this is how we're going to do it at Emmanuel. So we'll be in touch about that this week. We'll get in touch with you to let you know what this looks like, who your elder shepherd is, a little more detail and so forth. But this is a good time to get to know these men, to get to know your elders or your shepherds. So what we'll do is we'll get to know them through some questions and answers. I've thought about some deeply theologically challenging questions. I thought through some questions this week that I intend on asking our elders. We may have some time for some general Q&A at the end. But to get us going, I'd like to invite each of them up to the mic. This is the way we'll work it this morning. Guys, we'll use that mic one at a time. We'll share it. And we'll start by sharing a brief bio. Maybe you could share a bit about your family, about your vocation, about your ministry here at Emmanuel. Any volunteers to go first? Walt. All right, go ahead, Walt. Get us started, and then we'll hear from the other men.
It's always good to go first, then you're done and you can relax while everybody else goes, right? My name's Walter Williamson, and I was actually born in Ephrata, Washington, right in the middle of our state, grew up in the Spokane Valley. In my working career, after serving in the military in the Vietnam era, I went to school and I lived and worked in Montana, where our three daughters were all born in Montana. Then I went back to school again and earned an engineering degree, and I worked in the oil refining industry in Texas and then up here in Bellingham, where I worked at the Arco and then BP refinery until I retired as an environmental engineer or environmental consultant. For the last 7 or 8 or 9 years with British Petroleum, I traveled throughout the nation and even overseas as a consultant, teaching and helping others to learn and abide by the environmental rules and regulations that applied to them, teaching the management, the refinery managers, the people involved in it, and training those who were responsible to do that work. So that's my work history. Now I'm retired, and my work history is different. I work for the Lord. I serve the Lord full time through ministry in the Gideons, and through being an elder. And that is my role and my job. That is what I do in retirement. That's what I look forward to. That's what I love to do. It's not, well, I'm done with work. Let's just go over and sit on the beach or go to the mountains. I'd hate that. I want to serve the Lord, and that's what I'm doing now, serving the Lord in this ministry as an elder right now. I've served in other offices and other positions in the church over the 20-some years that I've been here as well. So that's my background and history, and I am so happy to see so many of you here today that you can all come this morning and be a part of this. Thank you.
Well, Michael gave us a list of questions, so I wrote out my answers to make sure that I wouldn't forget. So I'm Brian Crumdick. My wife is Joy. We have two daughters, Kristen and Carolyn. I was born here in Bellingham, went to college in Spokane, where Joy comes from, spent 4 years over there. I got a degree in accounting and worked for the state for 30 years doing taxes. I was saved at a Good News Club. In fact, Noni can explain it all to you because she helped out with that Good News Club out at Rome Bible Church. And I was saved there, I think it was about third grade, hearing the gospel and praying with one of the ladies there, accepting the Lord. Michael asked about favorite hobbies. I don't know if I have a favorite hobby. My hobbies include things like gardening, woodworking, and then all my animals, my dogs, my cats, my chickens, my cows, and my rabbits. He also asked about ministry areas that we were involved with. And besides elder, I do the treasurer. I'm on the tech teams. I make sound and video magically appear in other rooms that's not connected. I sing. I do Awana. And I probably do a lot of other things I'm not remembering. He also asked what we liked best. And what I like best is I get to serve the Lord and Emmanuel. And the biggest blessing to me from Emmanuel is the biblical preaching.
I'm going to do like I do at work, just pull that down when I'm, you know, far enough away from people. And my name is Eric Anderson. I'm a contractor, a small contractor here in Whatcom County. You know that verse in Acts that says, and their household was saved, you know, the Philippian jailer and... Well, that's my experience. We grew up going to a Lutheran church here in town. Many of you know my mom and dad, and we heard the gospel one time at a camp out, and one by one, our household was saved. I was a teenager, and so here we were, six of us. Yeah, got eight in my family. Six of us, born again, new believers, going to a church where we felt we weren't going to grow. And so it was recommended that you need to go to Emmanuel Bible Church. If you want to grow, you need to be at Emmanuel Bible Church. And so here we, this new family in the Lord, left the Lutheran church and many friends there and came here. And began that many, many years, over 40 years of our time here at Emmanuel. Grateful for that, for those years of growth. And then Kath and I dated, our first date was the senior prom in high school. We'd grown up living not far apart but not knowing each other. And we loved music and singing. We sang in the choir together and the swing choir and then the senior prom was our first date and then we were married here at Emmanuel and raised our six kids here at Emmanuel. Many of you know our kids and they're all walking with the Lord today. We're grateful for that. We're grateful for that biblical upbringing we had here and continue to have, and grateful for many of you and your role in our growth here. So what else? That's my quick bio. Is that good? Okay.
Morning, everyone. My name is Greg Brooks. I was born in North Bend, Washington, and after spent all my time there, went to WSU, and then had no prospects. I don't know what that says about WSU. So I had a buddy who was living in Western, or going to Western, and he invited me to move to Bellingham. So here I came. He had offered me 1 month's rent free, and that was my best thing I had going for me. So I jumped at that. I came to Bellingham, and then shortly thereafter, Katie came up, and after she sent my resume out to without me knowing, I got a job with at a company called Liberty Equipment. I was pretty surprised when I got that phone call asking for the interview. I'm like, who is this? Anyway, God was at work right there. Just so happened, George McCarthy was working at Liberty Equipment, and we were looking for a church, and we tried Emmanuel and then moved on to a couple other churches, and he encouraged us to give Emmanuel another go, and I'm very grateful he did. And that was probably 24 years ago, and we've been coming here ever since. We had the opportunity to get married here with Pastor Dave, and then had our four kids. And as far as my employment, I'm just following the footsteps of Walt. I've always looked up to him. When he was there at BP, I thought, man, you know what? I'm going to give that company a try, too. So I also try not to destroy the environment, and I assume that's your legacy, Walt. Thank you for that. Such a blessing. God's been so good to us. As far as hobbies, I just like to do whatever my kids are interested in. And fortunately, they took an interest in sports, so I've had the opportunity to coach each one of them over the last 12, 13 years. I was really looking forward to my final year of coaching this winter, Sophia, and I'm still hoping to get that chance. I'm a little disappointed that it might have been last year, might have been my last year, depending on COVID here. But what else? Oh, I've spent most of my time serving. I don't know if I'd come back to that one or feeling this one now. Just because of how childish I am, I've always focused my ministries on young kids, see what they can teach me. So we spent, I don't know how many years at Awana and nursery, and it's been, such a great blessing. There was just Wednesday after Wednesday of me not exactly thrilled to be coming here as we're rushing out of the house and getting here, and then just so blessed. Spending time with kids, spending time with the leaders, it's been great. And at this point, I'm really just focusing on my family, and then the youth group, the Revive, Recall, Revive, whatever. I really enjoy that because of the kids in there, mostly mine, and so they're fun to hang out with, and then with the leaders in there, it's been great. Anything else? Oh, thanks.
Well, my name is Joel Fujiwara, and most of you have probably heard my testimony repeatedly over the years, so I'll keep it brief. But anyway, my wife Donna and I have attended this church. Next month it'll be 28 years, and I can remember that first Sunday parking on North Street, walking in those steps there, and we went upstairs. There was a Sunday school class going on in the balcony, and Rudy and Carol Flores were the first ones to greet us, and it's been quite an experience over those years. We have four grown children, and now three grandkids, ages 7 to 7 weeks. And so what a blessing that has been. And this church has just really been a blessing to our family as our kids have grown up here, and we've come to serve. And it's just been great. And you probably recall that I was saved, both Don and I were saved through a missionary childbirth class in San Juan, Puerto Rico, when I was serving in the Coast Guard for 20 years. And so we came, and they told us that we needed to have a faith in Jesus Christ, and it's been so important in the upbringing of our kids. And I'm currently the bookkeeper at the Bonnevay Brewery, and I hope to retire from that position by the end of the year. Pastor Michael said, never tell a pastor that you're going to retire. But I made the mistake of telling him before he told me that. I'm currently involved in as a prayer coordinator for this congregation, for men's ministry coordinator, and president of the congregation. And I love all of these because it gives me a chance to interact with all of you. And hobbies, I enjoy home improvement projects, but don't have much time for those. So hopefully by the end of the year, I'll have more time for those.
Thank you, men. Thank you for the overview. I do want to mention there is one more elder. He's not with us today. Bruce Anderson. Bruce and Robin are laying low during the time of coronavirus, but Bruce is alive and well. He's praying. He's involved. He's doing it from home from a distance, but he'd also be one guy I'd love for you to hear from today. He's just not able to be here. And then as for me, you know my name is Michael. I came here as a pastor a little over a year ago, and I've loved every minute of pastoring with its ups and downs. I grew up in a small town, grew up in a real solid church, but did not live for the Lord. I lived a very dark life for many years. But God saved me in my late 20s because I knew the truth. I had a good foundation, and then life has never been the same since. I always say I'm the last guy that ought to be a pastor, but God does remarkable things in unremarkable people, and I'm very thankful for that. So just remember, wherever you are, whatever children you have, whoever you might know, there is always, always hope. So, that's just a little overview of my life, and I'd like to take a little time right now to talk to each of the guys individually. Walt, would you come back up, and I'll do just a little interview with you, one-on-one here. Let's see. Did you talk about areas of ministry you're involved in?
Yes.
All right. All right.
But I will again if you want.
No, that's okay. And biggest blessing for you and your family at Emmanuel, did you mention what that was?
You know, what I did skip was sharing a little bit about my testimony. But I'll share a little bit about, before I give that, I'll share a little bit about what's been a blessing for us here at Emmanuel. We've been here for a number of years now, and there's been a time or two that I can remember when I'm like, oh, Lord, what do I do? One of those times, there's a couple guys up here that might remember that. I had water flooding into my basement, coming in from the storms, and it was like a river running through the basement. I just opened the door, and we were pushing it all out the door. And Emmanuel folks showed up to help, and they came, and they were there. And I just love knowing that, hey, we're a family. We're here. We help each other. They just came, and they helped. They didn't ask anything in return. And I remember that, and that's one time in ministry here that I could see how this family is just filled with love for each other. And since I skipped my testimony and nobody said anything about it, what's wrong with you? I'll share a little bit. I grew up in Spokane in a Christian home, and my mother and father were school teachers, both of them. So I always went to Sunday school, as did many back in those days, hearing about Jesus, learning about Jesus. Then one day, in a small little Baptist church, as the preacher was speaking, it made sense to me. I need Jesus as my Savior. And that was when I was fairly young yet. But from that time forward, I committed my life to the Lord, and I've served the Lord. And it's been a continual walk with the Lord of growing day by day, learning more, and walking closer with Him up to where I am today. Always, He has been preparing me for the next step. So It hasn't always been easy, and I can't say I never rebelled against him, because I did, as we all have. But I started out early hearing the Word of God and accepting Jesus as Savior and Lord. What else, Michael?
Good. I'm happy you asked. Now, concerning shepherding groups, let's say someone, you know, understands that these groups are beginning. Okay, they know that Walt is going to be my shepherding group elder. What would you say to them if they asked you, what is my role? Like, what am I supposed to be doing in your group? How would you describe that?
I'm glad you asked that question. I don't know if you are. But as an elder, we're also sheep. Jesus used the example of sheep a lot during his time, and I'm going to bring up one of them. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus was talking about a certain man who had 100 sheep, and he lost one. One disappeared. He left the 99, and he went out and he searched till he found that one sheep, and he picked it up and put it on his shoulders, and he brought it back. That night when he got back and the sheep were in the sheepfold, he called all his neighbors and friends together, and they celebrated because he had found the sheep that was lost. So, what I'm going to say to you is, don't be the sheep that wanders off. So, we'll talk about how you can do that in a second. But the reality is, there's a shepherd, and the shepherd is the Lord. And he has assigned shepherds over his flock here on earth and given them authority over you, and we must answer for that authority. So give your shepherd authority. Now, when we look at what this means, everybody seems to want to do their own thing and go their own way. And nobody wants to be under authority, but we are charged with looking out for you. So you are... what you need to do is avoid wandering off in the various directions that people go. We're responsible for seeing that sound doctrine is here, that you're not getting caught up in the latest thing that comes into the churches from outside. For Jesus said, wolves will come among you in sheep's clothing when I leave. And they certainly did. And they still are. And there are new things, always the newest, latest and best thing, and the old things that we haven't learned about that seem to kind of creep back in. So look to your elders for leadership. Look to them for sound doctrine. Look to them for teaching. And place yourself under their authority in these matters that pertain to spiritual things. That's what your role is as assigned to one of these groups. Personally, I'm hoping that as we continue to contact you and get to know you, that our relationship will grow as a personal relationship, one where we can have great trust in each other. And if you have a certain hidden something, sin or something, that you would feel comfortable in sharing it with the elder in charge, that elder is overseeing you, in such a way and knowing that that elder will keep it in strict confidence, and that elder can pray for you and hold you accountable and help you through this struggle that is in your life. For all of us have things that beset us. All of us have struggles and problems. And you don't need to bear them alone. We can be part of that and share in your lives. So this is what I'm hoping for you as part of the elder groups. Thanks, Michael.
Yeah, and I'm reminded of the centurion who said, you know, to Jesus that I too am a man of authority, under authority. And it reminds, the other side of that reminds us that we as elders have to give an account to the Lord for how we've used what's been entrusted to us. So that balances that out. And we'll hear more about that in the sermon this morning. But it's also a great responsibility that we have to exercise that in a way that honors the Lord and fulfills our calling. I thought too, as you reflect upon the relationship aspect, it does take time to build a relationship with someone. I had a pastor tell me one time it takes over 5 years to become someone's pastor. It just takes time to get to trust someone, to get to know them. But I also recognize that the better the deeper our relationships with one another, the better the elder is able to minister to you. It may be a little scary, but don't be afraid to let yourself be known and to even be vulnerable with your elder. How about a question about the times in which we live? I will take your silence as a yes. With our nation deeply divided and a presidential election coming, what advice do you have for those maybe worried or anxious about our future?
I'm not sure I said yes to this one. But let's look into that. 2020, a year like none before that I know of. You have to be older than I am to experience a year like this. It started out with a booming economy. And what happened? Well, we had to unplug the power to it, and it was shut down. Who does that? Because of coronavirus and this pandemic that has the potential to kill and has killed now about 1 million, they say, worldwide. And people were without work. The children aren't going to school, distance learning. And here we are months later, staying apart from each other and wearing masks. Who knew this would be 2020? We're going to remember this. It's not going to go away. And it didn't end there. Isn't that enough for 1 year? What else happened? Well, you know, George Floyd happened, and now we're seeing the backlash. Everybody agrees there should be equal justice for all, that all should be treated the same under the law. But now we have lawlessness, a call to disband the police, and many other things. What has happened? What has happened to the moral fiber of the country? But that's not enough. Then we have wildfires. You remember the smoke from just a couple of weeks ago. The whole West Coast is burning, and the fires are everywhere. And the hurricanes and large storms are coming in across the South and the South and the East Coast, doing incredible damage. All this, and it's still not enough. There's still more. We're having a presidential election, a very contested, very bitter presidential election. And now our president even has coronavirus. And yet that's not enough. In spite of that, there's another vacancy on the Supreme Court. What more can happen this year? So it's not unusual that you should feel anxious or worried. And I understand your anxiousness and your worry. And what should you do about it? Well, I want to read you a couple verses. There's a number of verses in the Bible about anxiety. I'm going to share with you Psalms 46, the first three verses, and I encourage you to read the entire psalm yourself. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. God is the answer. We know that God is still in control. This is His. He made the earth. He made the heavens and all that is in Him, all that is in them. And we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Let's trust in God and turn to God. David did. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. He trusted in God because in his time, there were many nations around them. They all wanted to kill him and get rid of him. And within his own country, it was like our country today, divided. There were those that didn't want David to be king because he wasn't one of Saul's sons, who was the first king. And they didn't think he should be the ruler. And there was much strife within the country from those people that didn't want him to be the ruler. So it was split even then, as it is today. Let's be like David. Follow his example. Trust in God. That's where we need to be today. Trust in God. Not in ourselves. Not in someone else. Not in our leaders. Let's trust in God. That's where we need to look for our anxiety and our worries today.
Good, Walt. Thank you. Brian? All right. Let's see. Concerning our shepherding groups, how would you describe our role in the ministry of shepherding groups?
Well, there's an article by Nine Marks Gospel Ministry that starts out with Acts 20:28. It says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood." And they go on to say, if you have a basic acquaintance with sheep and their needs, then you get the basic gist of what it means to shepherd. Sheep need feeding, they need tending, they need guiding, they need protecting, and pastors and elders do this for their people. As they say in the article, transposed into a spiritual key. Pastors are to feed their people with the word, exhort them in sound doctrine, proclaim to them the whole counsel of God. Pastors are to guard their people against false doctrine and those who would lead them astray. Pastors are to lead their people to provide a godly example, equipping them for ministry and wisely directing the affairs of the church. Pastors are to care for their people by tenderly providing whatever counsel, help, and encouragement they need. So our role as pastor and elders is all of those things: calling, encouraging, counseling, praying for, helping, advising, and generally watching out for the sheep.
Good. And maybe, you know, you've described at least a portion of what elders do. Is there anything you would add to that? Like, what else would an Emmanuel elder do?
There's more.
Well, let's say at Emmanuel, certain duties have been charged to elders through the Constitution, certainly other duties based in the Word. Can you think of anything else that an Emmanuel elder does aside from that or in addition to that?
There probably are, but it's not coming to mind
directly.
I think generally watching out for the sheep, covering the affairs of the church probably covers a lot of what we do at our meetings.
Okay.
Looking out for the overall interests of the church. And
yeah, good. Good. And then maybe a question just for fun. You can pick one of these. What is your most memorable date with your wife? Or do you know what a do-it-yourself, nailed-it project is?
Well, I'll take the one about the date with my wife, because I do too many do-it-yourself projects.
Okay.
I do them all, and I don't know. Hopefully I nail most of them. My first date with my wife, we were laughing about it when I was thinking through these questions. It was our first date, and I was in college. I had no car. She wouldn't go out with me unless I drove. She had a car available, but I couldn't use it, and she wouldn't go with me. So I had to go borrow a car from a friend to be able to date her for the first time. We went out roller skating on a Friday night. It wasn't anything I really remember about the roller skating. It was the fact that 2 days later after that date, and I didn't even know this until I was leaving for spring vacation, and I got asked how Joy was doing by the music pastor who was taking me to the bus depot, and I said, "She's fine as far as I know. Why?" He said, "Oh, didn't you hear about the accident?" She was in a car accident 2 days after our first date. Spent a few days in the hospital, got like 120 stitches. And yeah, it was pretty bad. So that's why it's memorable to me, not necessarily because of the date, because of what happened around it.
Yeah, good. Well, thank you, Brian. Good. And then is there a question I gave you that I missed?
Yeah, you asked about, well, one that we could all answer, which is what scares you the most about being a shepherd. And Hebrews 13:17 says, "They keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account." And what scares me most is that I will stand before the Lord someday and give an account. And I feel inadequate. I don't do it all right. I think we all run out of time. We sin, we're not perfect, and yet we all have to give an account. That's scary.
Oh, good. Thank you for sharing that. Eric, you ready?
Good.
Good. Yeah, I do see some that are getting progressively harder here, so
I thought mine was pretty easy.
Let's see. What's been the biggest surprise? Now, we started doing shepherding groups a bit over the whole coronavirus quarantine time. Obviously, that was a good time to begin to exercise some form of greater communication, some intentionality. What's been the biggest surprise since we've put this plan into practice? What have you discovered as the biggest surprise this year?
Well, this may take you by surprise, but for me it was how difficult it is to enter into lives, your lives, specific lives that we've kind of divided up the church. And so difficult, that I guess I thought it would be easier, maybe. I have a wife who we share this. Kath, you're really good at entering into people's lives. And maybe it's the season in life right now, you know, the time. How much time do we have, and how do we do it? I hate phone calling. It's been such a part of my business life that I just don't like it. So it's really hard for me to, you know, in the evening or whatever, to talk on the phone more. Emailing, I'm a terrible emailer. I guess that, for me, I thought it would be easier to enter into your lives. And so forgive me for that inadequacy. I want to get better at it. And as Brian said, this is a high calling. And it is, we will have to answer for this. I guess, too, I was thinking of if I were to, you know, we're at that stage of the year where we're a couple elders are going off. Ryan and Walt are going off the board, and so we're at that nomination time. And you know, after Michael had shared the Shepherds Conference with us this last year, just right before things were shut down, we were able to go to California, go to the Shepherds Conference at Masters, and one of the speakers there, Paul Washer, he basically painted this picture of severity is the word that comes to mind, but great accountability as shepherds that we have. And I came away almost thinking, like, you know what, I think I would almost try to talk someone out of it before I would try to, you know, convince them that you need to be an elder, a deacon, or a shepherd, because it is a calling, and it is a very serious calling, and that was just made apparent to me as we under this one speaker that we heard. And I encourage you could go on Shepherds Conference 2020 and click on Paul Washer and listen to that. I think it was Paul Washer, but convicting and challenging. So that, all that to say, I want to be better at being your shepherd and being your and encouraging you and saying, how can I help you? How can I come alongside? And admitting that I'm not very good at it. So maybe that's normal. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. And I too share that feeling of inadequacy, and I think I've become convinced, and you may know this over the years, like, that's a good place to be. I think it puts us where we need to be in prayer, and it humbles our hearts, so I appreciate you sharing that. Just a question for fun. Could you share with us, if you would, your worst restaurant experience?
Mm. Well, one that comes to mind quickly is we were on our way to Spokane, and with six kids, that's a long track. I think our record was over 9 hours to get to Spokane. So we spent the night. We thought we'll spend the night in Ellensburg, right? Ellensburg. So we didn't do that very often either. Couldn't afford hotels. And so here we were. We stayed the night. Was it, you know, 3 or 4 hour drive to Ellensburg, and minimal stops, motel, swimming pool. The the next morning, we're out for breakfast at the restaurant that shared the lobby of this hotel. Our fifth born, Lauren, was, I remember she was, we had her in a booster chair. It wasn't a high chair, I don't think, but Lauren was that one where she just, I don't know, think you could just see the wheels turning inside her head, and you go, oh no, what's she going to say? So we're sitting there, all eight of us in the restaurant, and this lady stands up right near us, and Lauren looks at her and simply says, if I had a head like that, I'd cut it off. or maybe face or something like that. And we just didn't say anything. You know, it was just like, that was one restaurant experience that comes to mind. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. You know, as a parent, you deal with those kind of things as they come. Oh, she is.
That was the follow-up question. Where is she today?
Oh, she's doing great. So, anyway.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks, Eric. Joel, can we welcome you up to the mic next? All right. And you mentioned what areas you were involved at Emmanuel. I remember that. How about since joining the church, what's been the biggest blessing for you and your family? Did we discuss that?
Well, let me go over that. It's just really the family experience of Emmanuel Bible Church. There have been some very difficult times personally that Don and I have had. I lost both my mother and father in 2003. And it was just amazing how the church body came alongside of us. And I remember Linda Erickson was at our driveway the morning that my dad passed away, and offering her comfort and condolences, and so that was amazing. And then we had our youngest son, Gavin, when we were beyond normal childbearing years, and some of us said we should be Abraham and Sarah, and we should name Gavin Isaac. But the church, again, came alongside of us and helped us through that time. And what a delight it has been always to have the support of our church.
Good. Thanks, Joel. And then in terms of the office of elder, do you find anything to be scary, or what might scare you most about being an elder?
Yeah, well, these two have stole some of my thunder, but I would say losing one of my sheep would be one of the scariest. And I say that somewhat facetiously, but Walt alluded to this verse in Luke 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable: What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that has lost until he finds it? And when he found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." So just so I tell you that there were more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And so just that I would not be able to identify somebody in my shepherding group that is lost and turns away from the Lord, that would be very scary to me. But on the other hand, my brothers were all a team, and so we work together to identify these who have gone astray. And also we all, as Eric had mentioned, we have a big group. Each of us has between 20 and 35 brothers and sisters that we shepherd. And so it's a challenging position. That's why I'm going to retire, so that I can spend more time shepherding. And so I look forward to that.
Yeah, good. Thanks, Joel. And then, again, concerning this year, people may be feeling upset or even discouraged at this point in October. Do you have any advice for them this morning?
Yes, in three words, look to Jesus.
Yeah.
That it's just that we would hope that each of you would come to us as your elders and express your concerns, your worries, and have us pray for you, and just be really open to feeling no hesitancy to come to us. And Eric mentioned the Shepherd's Conference. There was one of the other speakers, Abner Chow, and what he said in his session was that all things were created for his glory, and he will make all things right in the end. And so that was so comforting.
Yeah. Good. Thank you, Joel. Thanks for sharing. Greg, could we have you up at the mic?
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
Let me stop you right there.
It is.
Before we get started, I was... Before we get started, I did think of a couple of things, and I didn't want Michael distracting me.
After you.
Eric, yeah, thank you. Eric, Kathy, it's one of your sheep. I just want you to know that Brooks are doing real good right now. We're in a great place. Kids are doing well in school.
Good,
Kitty and I are solid, right, honey? Okay, good enough. You don't need to call.
Okay.
We'll talk later. The other thing I wanted to bring up, be patient. I believe someone, maybe you last week or 2 weeks ago, I don't always pay attention that close. You said something about the sheep could be inviting their shepherds to dinners to get to know them, right?
Yeah, I did.
I'm talking to you, Steve and Roxy. I've had your food before. I'm ready for some more. Let's see, anyone else? It looks like my group's not represented very well here. Guess I'm falling down on the job.
Yeah, wow. If you're finished exploiting this time, I'm ready to continue with our...
Well, much like a presidential debate, you can ask a question. I'll answer whatever I want. Go ahead.
Oh, that's good. All right. How about an experience, maybe a meaningful shepherding experience from your own life? Maybe you were young, you were in a different church, youth group. Could you share that kind of experience with us?
Okay, great. So what I really like about your Nehemiah plan is you've really put an emphasis, and I truly am, and being serious for once, there is a real, and this is sort of related, so you can just sit down, that's fine.
Thank you.
What I was really struck with Michael's plan is he envisions a way of getting people more involved with the church activities. And as I was talking with my wife about this, it's so critical, so important to be more involved than just coming on Sundays and even Sunday school. Relationships are not built a few minutes before church and a few minutes after church. Relationships are built serving together towards an equal, a goal, a vision. Absolutely, my greatest relationships I have, Emmanuel, are with people that I served with. All those years serving with Awana, I loved being with the kids and teaching them and encouraging them, but they would invariably leave. Year after year, apparently you get older, don't get to come anymore when you're a high schooler. But Matt and Julie Carlson were there. Diane Vaughn was there. Angie was there. You know, I'm sure Eric can attest to this. And so just Wednesday after Wednesday, I know I can count on seeing the leaders there and encouraging them and being encouraged by them. And you know, after many years, you develop this relationship and you can start sharing your life and you can have this relationship that this shepherding, it's going to take time. I mean, we just love to say, yep, we're going to call a couple times. You're going to totally let down your walls. You're going to let us in. I'm going to let you in. Everything's going to be great. that would be fantastic, but we know that's not real. It's going to take time. It's going to be, it's just, to make it organic, it takes time. So that being said, I'm plugging in. Please find something you're mildly interested or don't think you would hate and get involved. And if you do it just for the relationships, and then that's where we can really grow as a congregation. So that's kind of my long way of getting around to Michael's question. So Wednesdays here recently in the last couple of years during the summer months, been going over to Matt Carlson's and playing pickleball with Sean Jeffrey and Jake Roberts, and we invite friends, and just so much fun, except when Sean's playing because he's really good. It's super annoying. But afterwards, we always get together, and we take some time, and we pray together. And it's genuine. We prayed for the church during the time, you know, when we were struggling and the split was going on, and just hurting together and trying to encourage each other. And the prayer requests are real. Like, it's a real relationship, and it's a really special time for me. And recently, my kid number two has been coming, and he's been a part of that. He's been witnessing Christian men together being open and praying, and it's not just dad saying, hey, this is what we should be doing. It's people that he looks up to, that he's looked up to his whole life. And that's really special. And it happens to be that all these guys are part of my shepherding group, so that's how I can tie this in. But that's what I want to see as a dad. I want that witnessing from my kids to see that. And so that's been great. And again, that doesn't come from just a couple of phone calls and a couple of months. So if the relationships don't happen instantly, I mean, it takes time. And so it's been special to have relationships with these men for the past 15, 20 years, and then just to love on each other.
Good. Well, thanks for sharing. And then last, just for fun, could you share a memorable date with your wife?
Oh, a date with my wife. have we had a date in the last 20 years? I don't remember. That's right. I was going one of the summer dates for sure. I would say if I'm interpreting the question correctly, probably, you know, honestly, probably just the day I met my wife it was fun. We happened to be at a wedding rehearsal together, and I remember what she was wearing. I remember the first time I saw her. Wasn't a crazy coincidence because my brother was marrying her sister, so, I mean, there was a reason that we were both there, but I remember seeing her, and then I was pretty impressed because the next day at the wedding, she was there on the dance floor, and I think for the one and only time in my life, I jumped out on the dance floor and got next to her and showed off my moves. Been married 22 years, no big deal. So I guess I should be on the dance floor a little bit more, huh?
Yeah.
No, it seemed to work because she moved all the way from New York just to hang out with me, right? Yes. So, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it was our pleasure. Thank you.
What's that? Oh, yeah, I've added salt and pepper shakers. I can also do the grocery shopping cart. We can get together for more tips.
Well, thanks for bringing that to our Q&A this morning. And everyone getting more than they bargained for. But I hope you're blessed by these men. I am. I love these guys. We did just a brief activity, and I think it was our last meeting. I was trying to prove a point. I sometimes do this with great success, and other times I really fail miserably. But we added up the amount of years these guys have been at Emmanuel, and I think it was 151. So that's the collective wisdom that I have, that God has given to me and given to us. So I'm very thankful for them. If you guys wouldn't mind clapping, we could give them a little round of applause at the end. And I'd like to pray, and we can dismiss. Father, thank you for your good gifts. Thank you for the gifts of community, of relationship, of fellowship, and of eldership. Thank you for giving godly men to the local church, men who love the Lord and love his people. I pray, Father, that you would bless our relationships between elder and churchgoer, between shepherd and sheep. Father, may you enrich those relationships. May you bless them. May we effectively, with great humility and the fear of the Lord, fulfill our calling. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you. You are dismissed.